Breaking news. The vault is open and the fright reels have escaped. With your hosts, the Jims. Sit back and put on that raincoat because it's going to get bloody.
Bloody awful if you ask me.
Fright Reels is brought to you by Slap Happy Toys.
Slap Happy Toys, where nightmares play. Come on down, it's your lucky day. With every toy, a haunted smile, dark magic fun that'll last a while. Get your chills, get your scares, Slap Happy Toys, they're everywhere.
Here at Slap Happy Toys, we use the best materials for your products, like polycarbonate silicone, from the base of active volcanoes.
With every toy, a haunted smile, dark magic fun that'll last a while. Get your chills, get your scares, Slap Happy Toys, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Slap Happy Toys.
Hey.
Hey.
Jim.
Jim.
How are you, buddy?
All right, how are you?
Good. We're going to do another podcast here. This is the first one that we've done some videotaping with as well. We thought we kind of have to have visual, don't you think?
Yeah. We put it on YouTube and...
Yeah, for the one... Right. The ones that are on YouTube and stuff, you have to have visual. Yes. So, hi everybody. This is us. Hello. I'm Jimbo.
I'm Jim.
And this is our Fright Reels episode. I don't know which one, but I know what fucking movie we're doing, buddy.
Number 9.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
No, 8.
God, I
don't know.
I sure wish it was number 9. You know why? Because I could add Beatles Sounders.
Oh, yeah.
Number 9?
Yeah. 9.
But instead, it really doesn't matter which number it is. What matters is which movie we're doing. Tell them what movie we're reviewing, Jim.
Terrifier 3.
That's right. We went and saw it on the night of the premiere. Jim and I, my lovely wife, on our anniversary, actually.
It was. I spent your anniversary with you.
Yes, we wouldn't have had it any other way, Jimmy. It was a movie threesome. Why do you have to put shit on the table?
Because it has to be in front of me.
But it makes noise there.
It's fine. You got it on the table.
Yeah, but notice how it didn't make any noise.
What the fuck?
I know. It's like we're married. All right. So anyway, we went and saw Terrifier. Hey, there's a cop right there, man. A North Ridgeville cop. What the fuck's he doing there? Is he clocking people?
Yes.
From our parking lot?
It's a speed trap. Yep.
Yeah, but that's not okay. Is it his private property?
I don't know.
I don't think he can park in private property.
They do whatever they want.
I mean, I guess so. I mean, we're not anti-cop or anything. It's just...
No.
I mean, let's all play by the rules we've established. All right, any fucking way. Who cares? What we do care about is Terrifier 3. So, I saw 2 in the theater. Did you see 2 in the theater? You
no,
didn't, right?
I did not.
And nobody saw the first Terrifier in the theater. I don't even think it went to theaters, did it? I don't think it did, man.
No.
Obviously, All Hallows Eve didn't go to theaters.
Right.
And one of these days, we'll circle back and do those ones. Don't you think we should give those their fair due?
Yeah,
individually,
we can talk
or
about
something?
Them now a little bit.
Okay, well, we'll just give a background. All right, first of all, as always, spoiler alert.
Yes, we're going to tell everything about these movies.
Yeah, we're going to spoil
and
it all.
You're going to like it.
Well, let's just briefly run over those. So, essentially, if my memory serves, is it the Ninth Gate? No, the Ninth Gate's Johnny Depp. Ninth Circle.
Yes, Ninth Circle.
Was like a treatment by Damien Leone, or Leone, I don't know how you say his name, the director, the filmmaker.
Right.
It was like a short or a treatment or whatever that he did to feature Art the Clown. And then because of that, he did All Hallows Eve. And All Hallows Eve is fun because it's like, you and I talked about this before, like with Trick or Treat. I really like those montage Halloween movies where it's like 5 mini movies in one.
Right.
Like Tales from the Dark Side. There were a bunch in the 80s, right?
Yep. Creep Show.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Perfect example, Jim. Nice contribution, man.
Hey.
Scotty Vucci Fonzie.
Hey.
So then that's what that one was, right? The kid came home from trick-or-treating and had an old school VHS videotape.
Yep.
So that really dates that fucking movie.
And the babysitter let him watch it.
Yeah, that chick got what she deserved.
Yeah.
She had that coming, that one.
Like Murray.
Murray, right? He did get what he fucking deserved. Murray, fuck that fucking guy.
Yeah.
He just wanted to make fun of me.
You know, werewolf.
Yeah. Be little good little boys and we don't werewolf. Oh, fuck, they're everywhere.
Half these people don't know what we're talking about.
No, I'll be throwing in snippets. Nah. You know how we do. Like I always do about this time.
Yep. Like we always do about this time.
Motherfucking wizards never die. All right, man.
You have to excuse. I have a cold, so I'm gonna sniff a little.
Yeah, I got over my cold, luckily. God damn, it took a fucking week. Anyway, man, nobody cares about our shit.
No.
So that one was fine, and it was five little scenes that off of some dumb fucking videotape that the kid found trick-or-treating or whatever the fuck. And then in each one, though, Art the Clown, our fucking, well, hero to us, our antagonist, but he's our hero for sure. He was in every one. And he was so fucking cool that they gave him his own movie. His own movie being Terrifier. So technically, Terrifier is the first Terrifier movie, but it's the second Art the Clown movie for my money, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, that's splitting hairs.
He looked really goofy in the first.
One of the first ones. Like, he didn't look the same in every one.
Yeah.
Like, the one in the subway or the bus station or whatever, he looked like a clowny clown.
Right.
But then the other one, he looked like...
He turned kind of almost a demon face. Like, his face
he got better.
Skeleton face.
Yeah. I mean, it was a different actor, too, though. So, I mean, even with the makeup, that's a different shell behind the makeup, like the difference between Glenn Strange and Boris Karloff. Yeah. Maybe not everybody can tell, but I can tell in 2 fucking seconds which person's wearing that monster makeup, you know?
Yep.
Anyway, then the Terrifier came out, and the Terrifier just fucking changed the game, man. There weren't a lot of people that knew that movie. Like, we were early in on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was still a lot of cheesy acting, stuff. It was definitely a B-movie. But
they didn't really perfect it till 2.
Yeah.
But it was great, and it was just the kills were so fucking genuine, man.
I mean, I think that's the main thing of these movies. The kills are so brutal. I mean,
they're not breaking new ground with filmmaking.
Part 3, they just want to keep making the next kill better.
True. Yeah, I mean, and that's it. You're right. That's what they do. That's what these films are. They're not breaking ground with filmmaking. They're not breaking even ground with horror filmmaking, but they are breaking ground with the kills. Starting with the fucking chick in Terrifier who got split.
Yeah.
And frankly, dude, that chick got what she fucking deserved too. She was annoying as fuck.
You already have 8 likes.
Brutal as these are, we laugh at them. And
it's hilarious. It's
funny because, you know, it's fake. But
my favorite's when he can't reach that girl, so he just honks his horn at her through the crack in the door. And then another one of my favorite things you and I have talked about in it's like, you know, he's sawing some chick and then he's fighting someone else with like a fucking axe and he's got a chain and then the chick gets the best of him and she's about to kill him and pulls a gun out of his boot and fucking shoots her. I'm like, oh, he's got a gun too?
Right.
No slasher ever had a gun ever, you know?
Yeah.
So that was cool. And he really had a gun in 2. He busted out the fucking Tommy gun, like Al Capone style.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the old Indiana Jones little thing.
Oh, I never even thought of that. Yeah. You're right. Man. It's a nod to the Cairo Swordsman.
Yeah.
Man, Jim, you're good on these cultural references. Man, are you good at this?
Thanks.
Right. And so then it came to 2. And then 2, I think, for me, 2 is like their swan song. Because it was more of a movie than Terrifier. Yeah.
There's a plot started.
And there was a better production value was higher. And the goddamn music is so fucking good in 2, dude. It sounds like every 80s horror movie ever. Like I said, it was so good, it could have been the Goblins. That could have, you know, it was just that fucking soundtrack to that movie and the font in the credits and stuff.
Yeah.
Makes it like something I got from freaking Vestron or some other awful 80s video, you know?
Right. And then the girl, the little... I don't know what you want to call her. Oh,
the little pale girl.
Mini-me girl, yeah.
God, I love that girl, man.
He's in the laundromat washing his clothes because they're all bloody. And this little girl sitting on I think it's like in his mind.
Yeah, except she affects real life, though.
Right.
That's the thing. It's hard to tell. Well, then as an introduction, she shits all over the floor.
Just
blast chunky diarrhea everywhere. And he's all smiling. They're all excited. Yeah. Of course, he's naked.
Yeah.
And then they play patty cake and she's poking his fucked up eye. And man, she's the best character ever. And I'll tell you what, man, she's not in 3, which we were all wondering, you know. And I'm going to be bummed if she's not in four, because it feels like Darth Maul. Like, she should have had another fucking movie. Like, Darth Maul, those original three movies, or not the original three, the first fucking three, whatever you want to call them, episodes 1, 2, and 3, are so fucking god-awful. And the only, well, the main cool thing about it is goddamn Darth Maul, and he only gets one movie, you know?
Yep.
I mean, 3 was okay. The battle in the volcano was okay.
Oh, Star Wars, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
it was good to see him turn dark and kill younglings.
Actually, that was cool. And the coolest part actually about the first one that I remember was when Qui-Gon and... man, we get off on a tangent. But when Qui-Gon and fucking Obi-Wan were like in the palace and they were fighting the battle droids and Qui-Gon's doing this shit, I'm like, for the first time ever, we see a full power Jedi acting like a full power Jedi.
Yeah.
Because we had only seen washed up ones.
Right.
Like Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, who kind of changed. Or newbies like Luke, who is just a fucking dork.
Yeah.
But finally, I was so excited to see like a full Jedi. And in,
right.
But I mean, who cares? We made it. We get off on a tangent. Okay. So, number two was fucking cool, dude. 2.5 hours long. It could have been 6 hours as far as I was concerned. It was awesome. The music was awesome. The kills were awesome. He ripped that dude's dick off. That was fucking great. Wasn't it?
Yes.
And the mashed potatoes in the mom's face, and he was wearing a little apron, and he had a, like a crock pot. Yeah. He made a fucking, made some mashed potatoes.
Yep.
But see, that was one. That was a perfect one because Jonathan saw the little girl there.
Yeah, true.
And he also saw the little girl in the school when she was playing with the dead possum. And yes. In the van.
So part three, everything kind of turns into demon entities and that kind of thing. So maybe she was a demon.
A demon, yeah. She was another demon for sure. But let me, all right. I don't know, man. I'm trying not to be too negative about three because I do love it.
I think it was really good. It was just all about torture porn. It's just torture.
I get the opposite. My problem is it was all about the story of fucking Celine and her family.
They spent way too much time.
And then they threw some background extra kills for art in it. It wasn't an art movie anymore. It was a Celine movie.
Yeah.
And then art's just kind of in it. Even in two, it was still a fucking art movie.
Yeah.
But in three, it really shifted, man. And because it shifted, I feel, might be sort of part of the impetus of it being when he is on camera, it's so extreme because that's all he gets. He doesn't get any story. He doesn't get much screen time.
Yeah.
So they had to extra fucking do it, I guess. I don't know. I wasn't thrilled with the fact that his fucking buddy talked either. The chick. Because the little pale girl didn't talk.
Oh, you mean the...
The demon chick.
Messed up face.
Yeah. She talked all demon-y, and it was like double tracked. And I mean, it was fine. I feel like we're nitpicking, but...
So she gave birth to his head in the end of part two.
Right. And she's the chick that
the lady's
interviewing in the beginning of part one.
Yep.
Because she was his victim that survived, whose face he mangled. Now, so let's go all the way back on that, though. Let's talk about the Jimmy. Is she the chick from All Hallows Eve?
I would think so.
Okay. Which is interesting because it's the same actress as the girl interviewing her. Or is it? No, I think it's the
one he killed in that bed.
I think it's the brunette sister from Terrifier.
Okay,
remember her sister showed up.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like she drove in from fucking Ronkonkoma or whatever the fuck it was. wasn't she?
Yeah,
and then I think it's her, isn't it? Her?
It might be. I'm not sure.
Because the brunette the little in the skeleton outfit, she died for sure. He fucking shot her.
Yeah.
And the blonde, I don't think the blonde made it. I don't think they sewed her back together. And he fucking filleted. Well, what about the chick with the baby doll?
Yeah.
He filleted her.
Her face looked like that, didn't it? After he was done with her?
I don't know. He cut her tits off because he wore them.
That's right. Jeez. I tell you.
But he cut her hair off, too, because he wore that, too.
Right.
I don't know. I thought her face was still there, and she was, like, reaching to him with no torso. I honestly think that chick is the brunette's sister from Terrifier 1.
Yeah.
But I don't know, though, man. It can't be her, because timeline-wise, Well, it's hard to say because timeline wise, at the beginning of Terrifier 1, that chick is interviewing the girl with no face. Okay. There's no question that's the same girl that she's interviewing. But is it like Pulp Fiction and that interview took place after Terrifier 1? Or is it in chronological order and that interview took place before Terrifier 1 and it's the victim from All Hallows Eve? That's where we need to be with this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't seem concerned about this.
I wasn't following the timeline.
But now that I'm saying it, are you getting
it? Yeah, for sure.
I'm like this all the time, guys. Don't bear with us, man. Jim puts up with this all the fucking time. But that way I can talk it through my head and then you can help me because you're my therapist.
Yeah.
And then I went on a fishing trip with my uncle when I was 12.
Made you.
He said it was just going to be a fishing trip.
Made you.
He made me bait the worm. Okay. Let's not make fun of child molestations.
No,
let's not trigger people.
Not cool.
All right, then. Thank you, Dan.
Priest now, that's different.
Priests are different.
They are.
All right. So let's get back on fucking track, dude. God damn it. All right. So doesn't fucking matter, I guess, who that girl is. But if you guys have a theory out there or you know, comment and let us know because I actually don't know. Anyway, where we got to that is because I guess if I'm nitpicking, I didn't love the fact that she spoke. However, I didn't really care. I'm talking about this like I didn't love the movie. All right, it's my third favorite Art the Clown movie, but that's like being my third favorite Beatle. It's still a fucking Beatle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I say these things, it's still one of my all-time favorite fucking horror movies of all time. But in the canon of Art the Clown, there's parts that I like about it less than the other ones. Is that fair, Jim?
Yes, I think that's fair.
What would you say?
I would agree with that. I like part two the best.
You like two the best, as do I.
Part three I thought was better than one.
I don't think so. I like one better.
Just because it was just ridiculous. I mean, these movies are just obscene, just funny and ridiculous.
I think I got to go with one on that, man.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other stupid story. Talk about ridiculous. He shit on the walls.
Yeah.
He turned that pizza guy into a jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
He split that chick in half. He filleted the other chick with the doll. You know what else was weird about that lady? Is when she had the doll and she thought it was her baby. Remember?
Yeah.
She was like the homeless lady living in the thing. Right. And then he had the doll and she was like, oh, give her back. You know, have you never felt a mother's touch? Shit, yeah. Then he's like crying, laying on her lap, sucking his thumb and she's petting his head. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, he's wearing her fucking tits. So. Oh.
I think a lot of times he mocks
people. He mocks everybody.
But then he just ends up killing them.
My favorite is when he like pulled out the needle and is like pointing at Jonathan. He's like, this is for you.
Yeah.
That's another one though, guys. Let's get to that real quick. Let's talk about this, Jimmy. All right. He filleted that chick with a fucking saw. He cut this dude's dick and balls off with he ripped the one guy's dick off by hand.
Yeah.
This guy shoved a chainsaw up his asshole.
Part three.
And cut him in half. And you saw all of it. But he goes to stick a needle in Jonathan's neck, they cut away.
Yeah.
In part two. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense to me. Is it because he's a child?
Yeah, but they showed him, he had chopped up a kid.
But they showed the result. They didn't show him do it.
Right. But still. Yeah, part three, they took a few steps overboard.
So everybody talked about that. Oh, 11 people couldn't get through the first 10 minutes and they were puking and leaving. And you and I are like, that's fucking horseshit. But after seeing it, I'm like, okay, I kind of get it because people have triggers. Like if he was killing dogs, it would have bothered me.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's killing little children.
But you don't see him actually doing it. There's a bomb that goes off at the department store and with the Santa Claus.
I'm talking about the opening scene.
Oh, and the kid, he's fucking coming.
Murders a little kid with its sister watching. Then the little girl's hiding and he comes and gets her. So you just hear it.
You don't see it.
That next, but you see his body. And then the mom finds the dead kid.
Yeah, that's messed up.
And so I was just describing that to normies that next Saturday. Muggles. Yes, to the muggles. I was explaining it to them and they were just absolutely horrified, stunned, nervously laughing. They know me really well, so they know that we're freaks. You know, Mary, too. Obviously, Mary's practically normal, but they know that she's into all this shit, too.
Sure.
So it was Ty and Heather and Matt and Laura and them. You know all of them.
Yeah.
We're at Cedar Point. And they were so blown away by that opening scene that they just didn't want to finish hearing about me talking about the scene.
I mean, you know what you're getting into. It's.
But what I'm saying is I think that we're so desensitized that we forget how normal people, that kind of shit affects normal people.
Sure.
Like, I think they would have been fine with the chainsaw on the dude's asshole. But the fact that a little kid was being killed on Christmas by Santa Claus, took their normal psyche and shook the shit out of it, man. God bless them. I love them. They're good people. Ty and Heather, shout out. Matt and Laura, we love you all. But our world is just different, man. We live in a different fucking world. Opening fucking scene, dude. Santa Claus. Hey,
there was a few cringy scenes where I'm like, ooh, like especially with the chainsaw on the guy and he ran up his ass.
You know what the cringy scene for me was? The demon chick masturbating with the broken piece of glass. She was fucking...
And it wouldn't stop and you just keep
She was all it. Into it. And it was all... And you just see blood splattering out between her fucking knees. And she was literally masturbating with a shard of glass.
What was, what was he doing when he was
watching? He was killing somebody.
But he was laughing at her. I don't remember.
He was doing something despicable and that was getting her off.
Yeah, yeah.
So she picked up a piece of glass and started fucking herself with it.
Yeah. Oof.
That one I think I cringed on. That's one of the times you caught me like wincing. I was like, what the fucking fuck?
A bit much.
Hey, before we go any further, we want to thank our sponsor, Slap Happy Toys.
You need the horn.
Well, I can add it. And then what do you want to tell them about which product is featured today, Jimmy?
It's the Soul Sucking Straw. You can find it on the Facebook page.
The Soul Sucking Straw from Slap Happy Toys. Now back to your regularly scheduled program. So let's get back to what an awful piece of shit I am, because I hate the fucking fact that that movie, to me, because of the goddamn family. So she gets out of the mental institution 5 years fucking later, whatever it is. And she has to go stay with her aunt and uncle, the sister of her murdered mashed potato mother, and their daughter, her niece. And from that point on, it's just one rom-com fucking drama trope after another. Like, you complete me, don't ever leave me. It was one after a fucking another,
like a half hour of that shit.
And the little girl's like, oh, don't ever leave me, and it was just one. And I'm just
I don't know,
from the beginning I'm like, when is that fucking child gonna get murdered? I wanted was for that girl to fucking die, and she didn't.
You think she doesn't like french fries? No.
What happened with french fries?
Her mom got killed with mashed potatoes in her face.
Oh, I thought we were talking... No, the other little girl, the fucking niece.
I know who you're talking about.
Because her mom got killed with rats in her face.
That's true.
I wonder if she doesn't like french fries. But she wasn't there for that. That was Jonathan. Jonathan got the mashed potato treatment.
Right.
All right, we'll get to Jonathan because there's a lot to say there. But, man, I wanted that fucking little girl to die. She was so fucking annoying.
That's horrible.
She was really bad. And none of that family could act at all. I'm like, would he just kill this fucking family, please?
Yeah, they were bad.
And then he did. And the dad's head was the tree topper. And all of that. There was even a fucking Mocking Jesus reference, which was fun. Because remember, he took the dude whose ass he cut open and crucified him.
Yeah.
And then Art was going like this, and like making fun of it.
Well, they also put,
that chick had a crown of thorns.
Crown of thorns, yeah.
She made her own crown of thorns, the demon.
Right.
And then made Selena wear it.
Yep.
I mean, we're breezing over the fact that Selena, if we're being honest, she's a really good final girl.
Yeah,
she's a great character.
Yeah, yeah.
She's attractive, but not distractingly attractive. Kind of like Rey. I always thought Rey was a perfect cast character because she's not unpleasant to look at. She's attractive.
Star Wars.
But she's not sexy, which would be distracting. She's just kind of a great character. Selena might be a little sexy, but either way, she's just...
In her gold armor.
I mean, yeah. But I mean, other than that, though, it's not like she's like... Va-va-va-voom, you know what I mean? Because I think it's well casted that way.
Yep.
I think they've made that mistake in other movies where, like, it's like high school kids, and they're all fucking gorgeous. Yep. And I'm like, nobody...
Their makeup's always done.
Got Megan Fox and Josh Hartnett and all these fucking, like, gorgeous actors. And it's like, that's just... It's distracting.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. I'm getting way off track. But I wanted to give her a nod. She's a good final girl. I like her as a final girl.
Yep.
But yeah, so they get to that last scene was really well done, man. It was really cool. I felt like it was worth the buildup of the goddamn rom-com fucking you had me at hello bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh my God. How about you have my balls at hello?
No one wants that.
God damn it.
This fucking movie.
I know, it's hard. It's exacerbating, dude.
It's, yeah. It was, I've seen Human Centipede. I've seen it, you know, there's cringy movies, but it was one brutal after another.
Yeah. Although I don't
love the shower scene with the girl. He just was.
Yeah. She had it coming too, though.
Hacking her face. Oh my God.
She fucking, she had it coming. That chick was a bitch.
Yeah, she was.
She made her boyfriend seem awesome. Cause at first I thought her boyfriend was like a bully. So this is Jonathan is in college now and it's his roommate. And remember, it kind of seemed like that guy might be picking on Jonathan.
Yeah, but then the girl liked that he was involved in
she
the murders.
Did her own stupid fucking true crime podcast. Right. And she was all into it. And it basically made her floppy-haired blonde boyfriend seem okay. His stuff was just college antics. He wasn't really sinister. She sucked.
Yeah.
But he did get his dick cut off with a chainsaw.
Yeah, man.
And there was balls flopping and stuff.
So he's laying on his stomach and he just runs that chainsaw right up his crack. It was just bad.
And he flipped him over and then there was like balls flopping and that was a lot, man. Yeah. And so anyway, they got through all of that bullshit and then he brought the kid back and crucified him in the fucking family's living room, which was fun. But he didn't have his head.
No.
He cut his head off. So he had like he had a fake head or a cartoon head or something. What did he have for a head? It was something ridiculous. Then Art makes a kind of a Jesus move, which is funny and disrespectful. Sort of like in Devil's Advocate.
Or Hellraiser.
Oh, yeah.
He was in front of the altar.
Interesting how both of our minds went to two different movies, isn't it?
Yes.
But do you remember that in Devil's Advocate when he was like trying to get him to fuck his sister?
Yep.
And she was doing this shit?
Yeah. Naked?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot going on there. Yeah, that was a great movie. I watched that movie twice in a row.
Yeah, I've seen that at least 20 times.
I watched it, and then Mary came home, and I'm like, you got to fucking see this.
I mean, Charlize Theron's in it, and you know. Yeah.
That's one of the first movies, too, where I thought, man, she's an unbelievable actor. Obviously, mm-hmm. she's eye candy, but man, that girl can fucking act. Yeah. She had a fucked up life.
Yeah.
You know, she saw her mother kill her father.
Really?
Yeah, in like self-defense. She was growing up in South Africa.
Right.
She's a hell of an actor though. Anyway, she's not in this movie, but they get, so now they have let's go from Selena's point of view. We're at her family's house. The uncle's head is cut off and it's on top of the Christmas tree. Yep. That's the star. Selena is handcuffed to a chair. Her aunt is across from her and handcuffed to a chair. The kind of sexy no-face demon chick that you really want to bang. She takes her crown of thorns off.
Oh, she's used shard of glass on that.
I know.
Stuff.
I know. Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous. Yeah, but she fucking took her crown of thorns off and put it on Selena. Then we're like, where's that little fucking annoying niece?
Yeah.
And they put a goddamn cage on there with a chewed up head with rats in it. And they're like, there's your daughter. And I'm like, oh, fucking great. Awesome. But I really wanted to see it because I hated that girl. But, and they're like, there's your daughter. And the aunt's freaking out. The child's mom freaking out. Then they kill her and they're like, it wasn't her daughter.
Yeah, but they put a tube in her mouth. They put a rat down her
throat. So they show before they kill her, they're like, here's your daughter. So this lady dies thinking her daughter was eaten alive by rats.
Yeah.
Then they hammer a big plastic tube in her mouth.
Yeah, like hammer it too, like into her. Yeah.
Which probably killed her. They shouldn't have done that because they should have made her feel it conscious because she was in shock by then.
Yeah.
And then they put rats in the tube using acetylene torch so the rats would go down her throat. Mm-hmm. But then they didn't like make the rats eat their way out. They slit her throat open so the rats spilled all out.
Yeah.
And then they revealed, oh, that wasn't really your little niece. We were just saying that to piss her off. And I'm like, fuck. And they're like, and then Art takes out Jonathan's glasses and puts them on the skull. And we're like, oh, it's fucking Jonathan. And I'm like, well, that sucks. They didn't give him a death scene.
That's why you think he's still alive.
I read that. I didn't think that per se, but I read it the other day and I'm holding on to hope because it didn't seem fair, man. That kid made it through two movies. He was kind of an annoying brat, but it was fine. He was fine. He was better in this one. And then they just suddenly, here's his head. He doesn't get a proper death scene. So people online are suspecting that he'll be in number four.
Yep.
But then.
So there is a number four. he says he doesn't know if he wants to do Pass 4.
Right, because he doesn't want it to turn like into like Freddy Krueger. He doesn't want to hit him in the ass with a towel.
But seeing they made $18 million in the first weekend.
Dude, they bondage fucking killed that coach naked in the shower in part two. They tied him up and slapped his naked ass with a towel until he died.
You're talking that movie again?
You brought up fucking Freddy, and I can't stop thinking about my coaches in the shower.
Yeah.
It's a big part of my life.
That's why.
So here's the thing. He pulled out the glasses, so Jonathan was dead. But then how did the niece show up? Because she suddenly showed up.
The little girl?
Yeah.
She was hiding somewhere, and then...
Oh, is that what it was? Was she like hiding under the counter in a closet or something?
Something, yeah.
I was hiding in the closet till my coach. So he, who's your daddy? He,
Brother Frank.
Yes. Jesus wept. But he fucking, that girl shows up and then somehow the fucking hole to hell breaks open and she falls into the hole to hell.
Yeah, that's an old 80s trope.
Which is fun. Reminds me of The Gate. Did you like The Gate?
Yeah, The Gate.
Gate was great.
Yeah.
I never really realized for a long time that that was Brad Dourif. Or not Brad Dourif. Wait, is that his name? No. Who's the guy in Blade? The white dude.
Oh.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can see his face. I don't know.
He's the little kid in The Gate.
Oh, okay. What
the fuck's his name? I'm looking this one up. Entertain the people, won't you, Jeff?
Yeah.
Do some, sing something.
What's going on? Hey, everybody.
So there's a hole into hell, right?
Yep. People fall in. They come out.
Well, they don't come out.
Well, they're reaching.
Steven Dorff.
Okay.
That's not ringing a bell for you?
No. I'm not good with names. I don't use names.
That fucking guy.
Yeah.
He's the little kid in The Gate.
Yep.
And then he's in a bunch of like, he was in Cecil B. Demented, which was fun. But he was in a bunch of those like, I don't know, like just this side of B movie, like action movies. Right. And he's in all those like direct to Cinemax fucking.
He's a bad guy in something like an action movie. I don't know what it would.
He's good. Yeah. He's better in some of the movies than he's gotten credit for. He was in they did a really good movie about the Beatles called Backbeat. And it's all about the Beatles right before they make it. Like it ends right before they make it.
Hmm.
And so it's like when Stuart Sutcliffe was in the band and Pete Best and shit. In fact, he plays Stuart Sutcliffe.
Okay.
And it's a really good movie, man. You don't probably know that much about that time with them, do you?
I don't like early Beatles.
Well, this is even before that. So it's John Lennon and Stuart Sutcliffe are best friends.
Yeah.
And then he basically only had Stuart in the band because he looked so cool. Like he looked like Elvis and he wore a black leather jacket and he really even couldn't really play. And they had him on stage just to look cool. And then him and John got beat up by some like street toughs in a bar. And then like within a year, they were just like, dude, he quit to go to art school and they were kind of like going to fire him anyway. And Paul took his place because Paul was playing guitar at the time. Paul took his place and played bass. And then the dude died of a brain aneurysm from the time him and John got beat up by those guys. Like it fucked his, he had a brain injury and he didn't know about it. And he died like right before they all got absolutely gigantically huge. Hmm. He's on the cover of Sgt. Pepper. He's one of those heads. Yeah. Anyway, there's a little Beatle history for you. We'll probably cut that out too. So the little girl goes to fucking hell. And frankly, I don't remember what happened after that.
Yeah, she was hanging on. Celine was trying to grab her, and then she let go. And
is it Celine or Selena?
Selena. I don't know. Celine Gomez. I don't know.
Selena, the Hispanic singer. Chick that got murdered? Is it cilantro? What's this chick's fucking name?
You put it in guacamole.
All right. Well, anyway. So the little girl fucking falls into hell. Does the demon, too? The no-face demon lady? I feel like she did, too. But Art gets away. Wait a minute.
Didn't she dissolve or die? Didn't she?
Yeah, she might have. We need to see this one again.
Yeah, we.
You know what's at the Palace next Friday?
Is it really?
Dude, they're playing 2 and 3. He got the rights to number 3 for one day.
Wow.
So next Friday, they're doing 2 and 3. It's like a 5.5-hour marathon.
Nice.
But anyway, so who the fuck knows? All I know, though, the interesting thing that I brought this up the other night talking about this, is Art lives. He died. Yes. He died in both the other movies.
Yep.
And they brought him back to life in a fun way in both movies. This one was great, dude. Remember they brought him back to life and they fed him a body and he was eating it like his spine was filling up with like human chunks. And the chick was eating the body too. And she was like, oh, help me. He made me do it.
Yep.
With fucking Chris Jericho or who's the wrestler?
Triple H.
It's it's Chris Jericho, right?
I think so.
Or is it Triple H? I don't know the difference between those guys. So Junkyard Dog is oh God, how great would it have been if it was Junkyard Dog?
Great Kabuki.
Dude, it should have been JYD, man. Anyway.
We didn't talk about how he got the Santa Claus outfit in the bar.
Oh, shit. Talk about spoilers, dude. Yeah, he goes in the bar, and who's in the fucking bar but Clint Howard?
Yeah, which it looks very old with a big beard.
Everybody loves Clint Howard, dude, right?
Yeah, he's been in
everything,
dude,
starting with Andy Griffith.
He's everywhere.
You know... You know, he was a little kid in Andy Griffith, too.
Yep.
He had like, he always ate peanut butter sandwiches and dressed like a cowboy.
Yeah.
I can't remember what his name was, like fucking Reginald or something. He was just this annoying other kid. But he was, you know, Opie's little brother. Mm-hmm. You've seen Ice Cream Man, right?
No. I've not seen
it. Why is that so funny?
Long story, I can't tell you.
You got a pervy fucking Ice Cream Man thing?
I have a story, but I'm not telling.
Are you really not going to tell us?
I cannot. I can't, actually.
Like by law?
No.
Oh, just because you promised someone you wouldn't say anything?
No, it's inappropriate.
For the radio?
Yes.
Dude, we've already said everything we can say.
No.
Did you get molested by the Ice Cream Man?
Oh, yes. Reggie.
Right. Well, the plot thick. Oh, it is Reggie was the Ice Cream Man. Oh, yay, Jim.
No. But so he goes into this bar.
But you didn't see that movie, right?
No, I didn't.
Well, there's a Riff Tracks version. So you got to watch. Okay. We should do that one. Yeah. Okay. And I found a movie worse than Roller Gator. Let's move on. He goes into the bar.
Yeah.
You started that. I cut you off.
Yeah. No, so he goes into the bar and Santa Claus is in there drinking. The guy that plays Santa Claus.
Daniel Roebuck.
Okay.
Who's Grandpa Munster in the Munster movies.
Right. And so Art is all excited. Santa Claus is in there. He goes in there and they kind of give him shit and sits down.
But Santa Claus is like,
start having shots.
He's like, he's my guy. To buy him around. Yeah.
And
so there's three guys. There's three guys. Daniel Roebuck, who is Grandpa Munster in Rob Zombie's Munsters. Mm-hmm. Clint Howard, who is everybody's favorite weirdo from a million movies, including horror. And the bartender, who's nobody.
He was in a show. I've seen him before. I don't remember what show.
Okay.
Was,
I stand corrected.
He's been in something.
And so things are going okay, odd, but they're going okay.
And then Art starts getting too odd, and then they said, what the hell is your problem? And it just
didn't he pull his dick out and piss on Santa?
He pissed on him, yeah. They didn't show that, but they showed him
Showed his clown dick.
I think he sat on Santa Claus's lap at the bar.
He might
and
have.
Then he peed on him, yeah. And then he's just laughing,
and then he goes back to his old fucking routine and pulls out a gun.
Yeah,
he started shooting motherfuckers,
but not Santa Claus, because
he shot Santa Claus.
But he tied him up on a chair.
Oh, that's right. He had the fucking liquid nitrogen. He had
liquid nitrogen and it with a funnel. And he shot Santa Claus right in the crotch, froze his junk.
And then smashed it with a hammer.
And then his hand.
And his knees and his hands and shit.
Yeah. So he's sitting there, no hands, no legs.
Did you know what was coming? Like when they showed, because there was foreshadowing and they showed him with the liquid nitrogen. And I'm like, this is going to be bad, dude. I know what's going to fucking
all those tools
happen.
Together.
Yeah. Because it was in Jason X. Remember he smashed that dude's face or that chick's face?
Yep.
And it was in The Entity. Did you ever see The Entity?
Long time. I don't
know. Dishy fucking what's her face was in it. Doesn't matter. But there was liquid nitrogen in that too. They froze the entity. They froze the invisible demon in liquid nitrogen.
Yeah. Well, Terminator 3.
Well, yeah, but that's different. It's liquid metal.
Right.
Yeah, that's
no.
Oh, they used it to freeze liquid.
Yeah, they smashed.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
That's right. In Terminator 2, right?
2. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, with the T-1000.
Yep.
Okay, so he fucks up Santa, and then he gets the suit.
But then he is faced in his head and he just smashes
his
face
and
shatters.
And somewhere around that time frame, we get a Tom Savini cameo too.
Yeah, what was that on TV?
Yeah, he was like being interviewed, which is so great. Yeah. How do you not love Tom? He's a god, man, when it comes to horror. The only thing that would have done that is if they had fucking Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, I was going to say Bruce Campbell.
But right. Tom was the first Bruce Campbell, sort of. He was the first like quirky horror celebrity, you know, that was in everything and just fucking weird and awesome in every way.
And all the makeup he did.
Jesus Christ. And then he was a sex machine in From Dusk Till Dawn with a double barrel cock gun. He was great in that, man.
That was funny.
He and did you ever see Night Riders?
No.
Nighthawks or whatever?
I think it was Nighthawks.
It's him and the fucking who's that bald dude? What the fuck's that guy's name? He played an astronaut. He was the head of the Truman Show.
Yeah.
He like was Truman's director. Yeah, Ed something. Is it Ed Nelson or something like that?
Wow.
My sister's got the hots for that dude. Anyway, he and Tom Savini were like Knights of the Round Table with motorcycles.
Okay. Yep.
That's this movie. It's like Knight something. Right. Knight Riders? Yeah. It doesn't feel like that's okay because of Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was fucking ridiculous. So I've known Tom for a long time. I really like the Prowler. Did you ever see that documentary of his, that Scream Greats, and it was all about his makeup?
Nope.
You didn't saw that as a kid?
I have not.
Oh, Jimmy. Let's go watch it after this. It was like a half-hour video, and it was called Scream Greats, and it was all Tom Savini talking about his makeup, kind of like in the making of Thriller, and it was Rick Baker talking about all his movies, but it was a Tom Savini-specific one. So it was him doing Jason, him doing Killing Jason in number 4, all the makeup he did in Day of the Dead and Dawn of the Dead.
I had the Rick Baker Creep makeup show. Book.
I did too. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I still do have it. I had two. There was two of those makeup books. And there was two like Tom Post ones too that I had.
Yeah.
It sucked that you like outgrew doing that shit. Like I would make up myself all day out of nothing. If I just had flour and water and food coloring, I would put it on my hands and let it crack so I look like a zombie.
Karo syrup and food coloring.
Totally Karo syrup. It was the stickiest shit in the history of mankind.
Right.
Yeah. God damn, we suck. Don't lose your head over it. All right. Well, so, all right. So, I mean, I guess let's, are we at the end of this?
I think so.
Okay. So.
It was brutal. It was fucked up. It was.
And great. Again, I mean, it was great. It was, don't get me wrong, man. It was certainly the best fucking horror movie that came out this year. Although, I just saw a review, this guy that saw The Heretic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard that's good.
He saw the preview of it or the pre-screening of it. And he was like, dude, he was like, this is one of the best movies, best horror movie this year. He said it's possibly the best script A24 has ever put out. I'm like, all right, that's a bold statement, dude, because A24 is fucking fat.
I like almost all their movies.
Me too. And so I'm really excited about it. I mean, Hugh Jackman.
This idiot is referring to Hugh Grant, not Hugh Jackman.
I gotta say, Gothica for me was the turning point where they had A-list actors in a horror movie because what's her face, the chick from fucking Oberlin. The fuck's that chick's name that was in Gothica?
Oh, Halle Berry.
Halle Berry. Yeah. She's an Academy Award actor. Well, Robert Downey Jr. an Academy Award actor. It's like suddenly. You had these horror movies, but with actors so good that it legitimized what the movie was. That didn't used to happen. Before that movie, it never happened, really.
Right.
And occasionally, someone's career would be made by starting in horror, like Johnny Depp or Kevin Bacon. But it never went the other way.
Jennifer Aniston in
Leprechaun.
Texas Chainsaw, wasn't she?
No, she was in Leprechaun.
It was a Texas Chainsaw 2.
Jessica Biel.
No, that's a newer one.
Oh, you're thinking of Jerry Maguire. Who's that fucking chick?
Oh, yeah.
She had me at hello, Jim.
Yeah.
See, it comes back to that shit.
It does.
Just like her fucking niece. Anyway, Renee Zellweger. She was in 4 with Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
They both became stars out of that.
Yep.
But anyway, the point is it never went the other way.
No.
You know, like you never had a big star go back and do horror unless it was the end of their career. Like fucking Joan, who's Mommy Dearest?
Joan Collins?
No.
Not Joan Collins. I don't know. Joan.
The fuck's her name?
Joan Crawford, you morons.
Anyway, she was in Trog. But
like Toni Collette and Hereditary.
Well, I'm saying, so in Gothica, it's kind of started. Then all of a sudden, you had those two in that. Then you had fucking Al Pacino and Devil's, what have you, Devil Advocate. Then Toni Collette and what's his name? The husband.
Oh, yeah.
The Irish
he's,
dude.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
He was in the other one with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was the devil in that one.
Yeah.
You know, so all of a sudden you started seeing these like actors taking horror seriously. Frankly, all right, I guess if we're being, I might have jumped the gun on that. If we're being legitimate about this, it was Silence of the Lambs that did that.
Yeah, you're right.
All of a sudden it legitimized the ability to be in a horror movie and have it not be career ending.
Yeah, that movie changed it all.
It changed everything. Things, yeah. It's the Sergeant Pepper. It literally everything was different after it. Mm-hmm. Or The Chronic by Dr. Dre, if you like. Everything after it. I put those three in the same category. Dude. You know how I am with the Beatles. I legitimately put Dr. Dre in there. That album's perfect.
It's great.
Motherfucking wizards never die. All right. Well, okay. So then what we're saying is Art the Clown's great. The suggestion or the hint or whatever is that there's going to be a number four that will both finish the backstory because we've never completed that. They teased on it a little bit.
Yeah.
There was some backstory about her dad a little bit. Remember, there were some flashbacks.
I don't really think he ever had a backstory for Art.
No, he's going to invent it for this. It's an after the fact. Right. Yeah. And he was talking about doing it in this one. I think he just was stalling. I think number three, he was buying time for number four because he's got to do that and end the character.
I think it's going to change though with that, the amount of money they made in that first weekend.
You think he's going to keep going?
They're going to do something.
Well, they're going to do four is fine.
Four. Yes. But
you know, it's funny. We used Freddy Krueger and his coach's dick as the example of a franchise going bad. But if we're fucking going to hammer it down, what really went bad was Pinhead. As soon as Doug Bradley wasn't part of the franchise, man.
Yeah. I didn't hate the new one.
The last one was... I like the new one.
I didn't hate it.
No, that
it
one's fine.
Cool, yeah.
But I'm just saying, five and six and seven, those were bad. Right.
Judgment,
man,
was good. That one
was one was okay.
The story was good.
And well, interestingly to me, that one, I think, and the one, it was either with Craig Sheffer or... Frank Black from Millennium. He was in one of them.
Yeah.
One of those, and I can't remember which one it was, to me felt like it was a fine horror movie in and of itself. And then they just thrust Pinhead in at the end just to say, okay, it's a Hellraiser movie. I'm like, they didn't have to do that. They could have just had a horror movie in and of its own thing. Yeah. It honestly wasn't a Hellraiser movie at all till the very end. And the dude, why would you cast this guy? He had like a cartoon face.
Yeah.
It's Pinhead. Like, he's got big doe eyes and a puppy dog nose. I'm like, why is he fucking Pinhead, dude? But the Judgment Pinhead was, or the, not the Pinhead, it was the, what was he called? The prosecutor or something? Or the judge?
I think it was the judge.
That guy was cool looking, man. Again, that one could have been a movie without being a Hellraiser movie.
Yeah.
That was its own decent horror movie.
There's a lot of stories could be told in that world.
You know what's another franchise that fucking went to dog shit is... Halloween.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, I really only love 1 and 3. And I like 2. I'll give you 2. I like it okay.
Yeah.
But I loved 1. I didn't love 3. Nobody did at the time. Now everybody realizes, you know, over the last 20 years that movie was fucking awesome. But everyone was so disappointed that it wasn't a Michael Myers movie.
Right.
Does that seem fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Do you love it?
I do. I love it a lot.
I love 3. I like the chick in it because she's also in Get Crazy. Did I make you watch Get Crazy yet with Malcolm McDowell and Daniel Stern, Ed Begley Jr.?
No. I don't think I've seen that.
Nobody's seen it except for me and Van Meter. It was the best movie ever, dude. It was a concert. It's New Year's 1982 or whatever, and it's the last concert before they close down the Saturn Theater, which apparently is supposed to be like the Fillmore.
Okay.
And it was written by a guy that was a security at the Fillmore for like 15 years. Hmm. That was this guy's job. He was a bouncer there. And then he wrote this movie. And it's fucking hilarious. It's ridiculous, actually. And John Densmore's in it. The drummer from The Doors?
Yeah.
He's Reggie Wanker's drummer. It's wild, man. That movie's really wild. There's lots of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Just like every 10-year-old boy wants to see.
Yeah.
All right. Terrifier rules.
It does. I thought it was good. It was brutal. It's not for everybody.
All right. So, yeah. So, we're going to wrap up things up. We've covered everything we can with this movie.
Yeah.
This is a sort of a haphazard one, guys, our review, because we didn't know how to prepare for it. We'd only seen it once. We certainly weren't taking notes in the theater. And like you said, it's a lot, man. It kind of takes your breath away.
Constant bloody mess, except for the stupid family shit that they throw in.
Yeah, it's like you said. I mean, we got through all of it, and I had forgotten about the goddamn liquid nitrogen, even because there's so much going on in that movie, man.
Yeah. He blew kids up with a bomb.
Oh yeah, and he blew up the kids. He didn't blow kids.
No, he blew up kids.
That's true. He blew kids up like a balloon. That bomb was fun. The whole mall scene was great.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah. I hate mall parents and shit. Yeah. We watched Trap last night. Have you seen Trap yet?
No. Was that good?
Yeah, it was good. It wasn't great. It was good, though. I mean, it was good.
Oddity. Watched Oddity.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
The Wooden Dude?
Mm-hmm.
That was good, man. We should be doing more movies like that on the show.
Yeah.
Because people have never seen Oddity. Right. And they've never seen, like, Antrim, the one where the kids dug the hole to hell.
I mean, you see the picture on Netflix or Prime or whatever, and people a lot of times
and they pass it. Yeah. We should just do that. Why don't we just focus on those movies?
Maybe.
Because you and I have seen all of those movies, and right. Most people have already seen Halloween and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and all of that shit, you know?
Yeah, let us know what you think, fuckers.
Yeah, fuckers. Because you guys came up with Exorcist 3, which was a good choice.
Right.
Because Chuck and Angie and Nikki, maybe? Like, everybody wanted us to do that one. You can't stop playing with the toys, can you?
You think Freddy was taller than Michael Myers?
It's just the hat. Take his hat off.
Oh, just look at that. Well, let's see. It's better.
Now Leatherface isn't so scary now that he's wearing a fedora. No,
that's better.
When Leatherface wore it, though, he looked like fucking Ring-a-Ding-Ding, like he was in the Rat Pack or some shit. All right, guys. For Fright Reels, I'm Jimbo.
I am Jim.
Daddy loves you.
Bye.
Motherfucking wizards never die.